October 7th, the enemies of God attacked the people of God. They burned down homes, murdered men, women, and children, and captured the innocent in an attempt to terrorize a nation. That day, the powers of darkness working through Hamas boldly stormed the gates and pushed the world into deeper chaos and God's people to war. So what should you do, woman of God? What should you say? What power do you have in such a chaotic nation? You have the power of the Holy Spirit, access to the Lord of Heaven's armies, and the anointing to pray like Deborah. Today's topic, the Deborah anointing, called to be bold kingdom leaders. Let's get into it. Welcome back to the show. Today, we're going to be talking about the Deborah anointing, which is really, really close to my heart. So in Judges 4 and 5, we read the story of the powerful prophetess and judge Deborah. If you haven't heard of her before, you can go on ahead and just pause this recording and read about her. As the story, a summary of the story is, as Israel, ancient Israel, faced oppression from the Canaanite forces, Deborah arose as a strategic intercessor. She was a trusted judge and a courageous leader called by God to guide the nation into victory. And her example really stands out today as a model of what's known as the Deborah anointing. It's a special anointing or a special calling on women to lead boldly for the kingdom of God. And let me emphasize that it is not for women to replace men in their position in the kingdom of God, but it is just a special anointing for women with this anointing to lead other women in the kingdom of God. What is the Deborah anointing? So the Deborah anointing represents a commission from God to arise and shine with authority, confidence, and boldness. So let me emphasize that it is a mission from God. You don't just wake up in the morning and say, I have the Deborah anointing, or I feel a little quaking in my spirit and that must be that special anointing. No, you are commissioned, you're called by God. And in order for you to do that, or for you to know that you're commissioned or called by God in this area, you would have to already have a relationship with God, meaning you would already have to have a lifestyle of prayer and fasting and communion with God. You would already have that established, and then He'll be able to communicate with you and speak with you and let you know, okay, this is your calling. Okay, so it is a pre-established relationship with God where communication is open, it's clear, and He's able to speak to you and say, hey, I'm calling you to this office. So it's a divine empowering to start movements that free the oppressed and empower the next generation. And if you read in the New Testament, there's some instruction on the older woman teaching the younger woman the way of being a Christian woman. How to pray, how to speak with grace, how to be compassionate, how to discern spirits, how to cultivate the fruit of the spirit, et cetera, et cetera. So this divine anointing, you are empowered to start movements to free the oppressed one and to empower the next generation. So this anointing activates spiritual gifts such as leadership, faith, miracles, and healing. It stirs women to stand as voices for the voiceless regarding injustice. okay? Those operating under this anointing are change agents, and you, woman of God, you'll be a change agent and a culture shifter. You are an ambassador of God's justice and goodness on the earth. So while the Deborah anointing is often discussed regarding women, elements can be applied to men too, but this is mostly focused on women. But at its core, this anointing is about embracing God's call to courageously lead people into freedom and revival. You got that there? All right. That was a lot. But if you want to write this down, let me drop this note in. You can go to faithamplified.com and you can get the show notes so that you can pull from there. I invite you to do that. Pull from there, make your own notes, do your own research, read the scripture, the history of Deborah and her husband, the military leader at the time, and how she executed all the tasks, all the things that she was supposed to do within her office. Okay, so I invite you to do that at faithamplified.com. Okay, so what are the key factors that activate the anointing? Well, what distinguished Deborah and unlocked divine empowering in her life? We're going to discuss that now. So there are several things. Number one, she was an intercessor. And I said this before, you would already have to have a lifestyle of prayer. You don't just get up and say, I'm anointed. You already have to have a lifestyle of prayer where God is teaching you and giving you direction and all the characteristics that you need in order to perform successfully in your office and to execute His will, to do what He wants you to do and not what you want to do yourself. So number one, you have to be an intercessor, right? You have to be a strategic intercessor. And as a strategic intercessor, Deborah cultivated intimacy with God by spending time listening for His voice. She was always in tune, always listening for direction. That's why they called her a prophet. Okay, a prophet always has to be in tune with what God is saying, because the only job of a prophet is to speak the words of God in its purest form to the people. Okay, so this posture of intimacy with God enabled Deborah to hear His plans and act on them with authority. So she was so in tune with God that she did not hesitate when God said something. When God says something, you move on it, you speak it, you do it. Okay, number two, she was a judge, which is probably unusual for a Middle Eastern culture in that day, but the people trusted her. Why? Because she was in tune with God. So Deborah selflessly judged and governed God's people with wisdom, justice, and compassion. Those are the three things, okay? Wisdom, justice, and compassion. That's how she judged people, and that's how we should do that as well, how we judge people in situations. Wisdom, compassion, and justice. And there is always that underlying, that foundation of love in that for people. So we don't judge people to tear them down, to tear them apart, or to lift ourselves up and make ourselves above anybody else, to make our egos, exalt our egos, or make ourselves feel good. No, it's out of love for other people and the want for people to be better, to succeed, to do God's will. That's what we want, right? She's also, of course, a prophetess. You're in that office, right? So Deborah operated with keen heavenly discernment. Of course, she had the gift of discernment, and she stayed anchored to God's presence and followed His guidance like a divine compass. So the Spirit, God's Spirit, was her compass, directed every move that she made and every direction or instruction that she gave the people of God. She was a deliverer. God revealed His battle plans to Deborah. That's why her husband came to her for guidance from God. And she pretty much declared through intercession and in commanding military leaders, her prayers paved the way to victory. Okay? Not her own wisdom, God's wisdom, God's words, God's direction, love for the people, wanting to ensure that the people of Israel overcame, won wars according to how God wanted. So that's how she moved. She did things according to what God said. Okay, we said that she was a deliverer. She's an agitator. Deborah boldly confronted injustice and an ungodly culture. She was also an agitator. Deborah boldly confronted injustice and ungodly cultural dynamics, stirring up change. She operated as a forerunner, preparing the way for the kingdom. And number six, she's a worshiper. Time in God's presence fueled Deborah's strength and boldness. She exemplified a lifestyle of worship. So there are some hindrances that may come with this type of anointing, and we're going to go into that now. So for a modern day Deborah to arise, you must combat anything holding you back from God's anointing in your life, any hindrances. And that will include, number one, fear. Operating in boldness means confronting fear of controversy, people's opinions, ladies, failure, and more. Fear. We must be determined to be strong and courageous. Harshness. Speaking truth boldly does not mean speaking it harshly. We must season truth with grace and love. I'm going to get back to that in a minute. The third one is burnout. The anointing relies on our intimacy with God. So prayer, worship, and Sabbath refresh us. Spending time with God, refreshing our spirits, taking a break, even if you have to step away from others for a minute to spend time with God. Jesus did that often. The Bible said he stole away to the mountains to pray, to spend time with God, because ministry can be a heavy weight, can be a burden. So you have to make sure that you're always drawing from the source so that you can be revived, refreshed, strengthened, that your ears can be opened, your eyes can be clear, you're seeing with clarity and not with anything that the enemy might put, right? Weariness, bitterness, anything like that that will come. So let's go back to harshness. I know for some of you listening, you are from a similar culture, whether you're from a Caribbean culture, or even I want to say maybe like you grew up in church and you've been around for quite some time. Today's churches, I would say, embrace a more loving way of dealing with people. And when I say loving, I mean speaking kindly to people, giving correction with the goal of restoring somebody and not necessarily tearing somebody down. When I was growing up, that wasn't necessarily the case, especially within our culture, which is the Caribbean culture. Everything is pretty harsh, right? And they thought that they were doing that in love, and that was probably the intention, right? You can only do or act what you learn. The action was, if you're familiar, it was like, okay, I'm going to sit that person on the back seat of the church and just let them learn from what they did or whatever mistake they made, or I'm going to take you down from the choir, or I'm going to, you know, pretty much ostracize. That was the way, or talk about you, or put you up worse in front of the congregation and have you confess and all of those things. Now, I'm not against correction, because God corrects, right? And he corrects in love. But I think a lot of it was the motive behind that wasn't always loving. It wasn't always to restore. It was more to punish. Punish and then let that person stew. Punish and let that person just go off and figure it out. And it was up to that person to figure out how to get back in the fold, or how to get back to the place where they were before. And that was pretty harsh. And what ended up happening was most of those people left and never came back to the church. And that formed, or that was the predecessor to the term church hurt and all of that. But if you have the Deborah anointing, if you have that willingness to restore, to bring people back to God, to fight for injustice, to ensure that the people of God stay on the right path, that they're hearing from God just as much as you're hearing from God. Now, in Deborah's time, they had prophets, and God only spoke to others as well, but he mostly spoke to the people through a prophet. Today, because Jesus died on the cross, we have direct access. We don't have to go to someone or through someone to hear from God. He will speak to us directly. So as a person with this anointing, it will be upon us to teach others how to hear God's voice clearly, how to connect with God so that they can hear clearly. That's something that you want to keep in mind. All right, so let's move on to knowing the times and seasons. And this is another aspect, and this is a key aspect of walking in the Deborah anointing, and it involves understanding and interpreting current events in a spiritual context, having discernment into the times and the seasons. And that is very important right now, especially with what I started off the episode with, which is the situation that is going on with Hamas in Israel. And there's a lot of noise going on around that, right? There's some people that are saying this is end time prophecy. Others are just looking at the human aspect of it, the human rights issues that are going on. It's very interesting to me that a lot of the world is blaming Israel and saying that they're just being too harsh, they're being retaliatory and all of that stuff, and not necessarily looking at the spiritual aspect. Yeah, we look at what's happening with human beings over there, which will include civilians being killed, being hurt, hostages being taken, and praying for those people who are innocent, especially the children who have no clue or no idea what's going on. They just know that this is a nightmare. So the innocent, we have to think about the innocent, and those actions that are happening over there are now spilling into our culture here in America, where there are protests and people are angry and trying to attack. And there are people that are not even Palestinian or have nothing to do with it. They just heard some sort of propaganda or news or whatever, and they're jumping on the bandwagon because this is another thing that they can scream about and protest about. And so that chaos, that disruption of order, of peace, is coming from a spiritual influence. And we always have to remember that. We have to remember that what happens in the natural is a result of what's going on in the spiritual. So we have to go beyond a natural analysis in order to perceive the spiritual climate and flow of what God is doing in the world. Just because there's a lot of chaos going on doesn't mean that God is asleep. It doesn't mean that he doesn't know what's going on, or he's just being just absent, right? He's just being silent. He knew all these things were going to happen. He's allowing them to happen, and all of it is under his control. So we must understand the purposes of God in different eras and situations in order to correctly respond. We don't respond out of emotion. Okay, we respond out of wisdom and understanding of the times and the seasons as it relates to biblical instruction, prophecy, and what we hear, what we understand, or what God tells us in prayer. So applying discernment over the times and the seasons enables us to do a couple of things. So the first thing is we're able to hear God's voice regarding our personal life direction and our ministry assignments. We can align with what he is prioritizing and not just what we want. Two, we get to understand what he is currently saying and requiring of his people. We respond appropriately rather than just reacting. If you're on social media, you know what that looks like. I'm just going to react to anything without knowing any facts. I just want to make sure that my voice is heard, and I'm just going to be combative just to be combative. And I see that on those who are outside of the church, and surprisingly, those persons who are in the church who even are in leadership as well, which is odd because that does not necessarily show the fruit of the spirit. It shows the fruit of something else that is influencing. That's anger, that is emotionalism. We really should avoid that. When you have this anointing, you have to be responsible with what comes out of your mouth and what you say, because there is weight to that, right? The third thing is we get to perceive where God is moving and position ourselves to partner with kingdom advancement. We shift ministry activities and focus to match the present needs and opportunities. What that looks like is, say you're right now praying for your local, maybe like a church initiative, right? Your church is working to make an addition to the building, or working to do some evangelism in the neighborhood, or whatever that is. maybe because you know that the season is changing and there's some world events that are going on and there's something happening in the spirit because you're connecting with God, right? You're going to shift the prayer to what is prioritized right now by the Holy Spirit. So yeah, you still pray for local leaders and so on and so forth, but there's something more pressing over here that the Holy Spirit is trying to get your attention to, and you need to be fluid enough to move that way. And lastly, you receive insight into future events and how to prepare ourselves and others. So cultivating maturity or maturity in discerning times and seasons is vital for anyone desiring to operate in the prophetic. We must earnestly seek God for heightened spiritual perception beyond just perceiving the natural landscape, because we're seeing the natural, like I said before, is always influenced by the spiritual, and you need to know what type of spirit or spirits are influencing what's happening in the natural. Okay, so what does it look like to walk in the 21st century Deborah anointing? It means cultivating a honeybee mentality, right? It means being bold yet brazen as we stand for truth. We must stay alert to the times and seasons, like I just went through, and leaning on or leaning into activities that position us to partner with God. This includes adopting a lifestyle of strategic prayer, not just saying things and babbling or focusing our prayers on ourselves, consistent talking and not listening. A lot of being in the prophetic has to do with listening as opposed to talking. So we have to train ourselves or discipline ourselves to sit and listen. There is worship that has to be included, and of course, Bible study. And the Bible says that, you know, the people perish because of lack of wisdom. A lot of people tend to go and listen to the teacher or the church or the pastor or different speakers all over, and don't take the time to go and read the word and study the word for themselves. Listening to your leaders and their teaching, your teachings from your pastors, or whether it's in Sunday school or Bible study or on a Sunday morning, that's perfectly fine. But as a Christian, you have the responsibility to go and check for yourself, confirm what's being said, and ask God and the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit for clarity on what's being said and how that you can apply that to your life. So that's all there, okay? So you have to adopt that lifestyle. It also means that you are dismissing fear and embracing your identity as a woman after God's own heart. We must live on earth as it is in heaven, displaying his justice, beauty, and goodness in our own lives. So, friends, beautiful souls, I have a question for you. Will you accept God's call to partner with him in establishing his kingdom on earth? That is a tough question, but it's something that you should answer. You should really think about, okay? Will you nurture spiritual gifts and leadership, the potential for leadership within you? The king is looking for women bold enough to arise with the Deborah anointing, waging spiritual warfare through intercession and declaring truth over regions, industries, and groups of people. God is looking for women to disciple and release the next generation into their destinies. Not women that are going to sit on the bench and just look and observe and criticize and talk about and gossip and do all that stuff. He's looking for women to be active, to teach the next generation. Okay, there's an army rising up, folks. And this army is equipped with kingdom authority to tear down strongholds of injustice and oppression across society. You do have the ability. You have the power. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have the power to do this. Will you choose to be a part of this move of God? And will you let him develop the Deborah anointing within you? Think about that, pray about it this week, and also think about all the things that are happening worldwide or even in your community, in your household. Think about those family members that are out there that those people that are being stolen away by the enemy, by the world, that are just being blown with every wind and doctrine, or are trapped in some sort of addiction, or just lost, completely lost, pray for yourselves. Pray for the leaders, your fellow intercessors, those who are out there. You have the power to do this. You have the ability, and there's a calling. If you feel that there's a calling on your life, step into it, lean into it, and let God work through you. Okay, God bless you. Let's pray for the peace of Israel, as the word instructs us to do, and pray for each other. I will see you in next week's episode. Remember, go to faithamplified.com for the show notes and spread the word. Download the episode, subscribe, and I appreciate you all. Love you.